This is Believe in Buckeyes. I'm Brian Browning, and this is...
I am a Utah fan, sir, and I live across the green. A gang, it is the jolliest that you have ever seen. Are the finest in each one of the shining stars. Are yells you hear it ringing through the mountains and the far. Who am I? A Utah fan of mine. A Utah fan, sir. I'll be here till I die. We never bluff. We game for any fuss. No rival, the college fans that meet us in the mud. Something, singing to the sky. We fight for dear old Crimson Four.
A Utah fan am I.
Hey.
That was beautiful.
Let's go.
Today in Believe in Buckeyes, we're singing the Utah Utes fight song because
they did it.
They beat USC, and with them beating USC, that opened up the spot for our Buckeyes to get back in the playoffs. It's a new week.
Number four.
Yeah, new week. So the Utah beat USC 24-47. That was on Friday night. And us Buckeye fans, we always tuned in for that one.
We was tuned in, man. I wore the Utah fandom proudly, man. I was told by those fans on Twitter that we overreact in the first quarter to all the bad things that are going to happen in the first quarter, which I did. I did perfectly, right? I gave up. I said Utah was going to lose. And then their strong quarters, second and third, they came on strong. Obviously, we saw that USC's quarterback was a little gimpy. Towards the
Caleb Williams,
in the second half primarily. But, man, those Utah boys, you know, they play hard.
Yeah.
They play tough.
Right.
We saw Utah in the Rose Bowl last year, mm-hmm. and they had a lot of guys hurt on defense. They had like a running back starting at corner. It's a straight shootout.
Yeah.
But this time, it's a much, much improved defense, man. A team that they had already beat, but it was a shootout. It was close. It was a different game this time, and the boys balled out.
Yeah. So earlier in the season, Utah beat USC 43-42. So obviously, as close as it could be.
Yeah.
And going into the game, for a reason, let's call it, I don't know exactly what the spread was, but around Ohio State, it was like really high percentages that Ohio State would make it to the playoffs, I guess. People anticipating that Utah
Somebody
beat them
something.
Again. They knew something.
Somebody knew
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and they went out and performed. I mean, like you said, big ups to Utah, the quarterback, Cameron Rising, the grit he played with, taking a huge hit, top 10 hit, helmet flying off, everything. We got back up. He never missed I don't think he missed a snap, played great in that game, running back with some explosive runs. And then they shout out to their coach, Kyle Whittingham, after the game. Going to the Fox presser, where you got USC legends up there, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart,
and you got Urban up there.
Yeah, Urban up there giving them a hug and just saying like, "Hey, you're welcome, Ryan.
Right,
you know, they
got
that win.
They got the job done for us. I think a lot of us Buckeye fans became Utah fans. And honestly, man, I feel like I got space. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Buckeye through and through.
Yeah.
However, I got a little bit of space for something else, you know, to check on someone else. And I think I'm going to, occupy that space with Utah. Now, I'm going to check what their scores are. I'm going to root for them if I see them on TV.
They came up big for us, so it's nice to give them a little love. Like, they showed us definitely a lot of love. Also, they did it for themselves, but, we benefited from it a lot, right? So, and then also going into the championship weekend, you had another team that was ahead of us in rankings, basically due to the loss, TCU. TCU took a loss to Kansas State, 31-28 in overtime. What'd you think about that game?
So TCU took a loss, and, you know, we knew, you know, those two games were the games that had college playoff implications, right? But TCU's loss was if you're going to take a loss, TCU took the type of loss that you want to take. They got it all the way into inches.
Right.
Of scoring in overtime. So they tied in they tied at regulation, went into overtime, went for the win, trying to get get the touchdown. Couldn't get past the inch yard line to score and get in there. And that's how they ended up losing. I think that was somewhat strategic in that, look, we're going to go for the win. And at the end of the day, if we do lose, we lost by an inch.
Right, so lost by an inch, yeah.
I thought great quarterback play.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Great quarterback play. I thought the quarterback put them in position to go get the win. However, they weren't able to finish with that quarterback to go ahead and get over the top, but still got themselves in the playoffs.
Yep, and the other Power Five called the big championship games. You had obviously Michigan, second quarter route over Purdue.
Yeah.
And then we also had Georgia, who kind of took it to LSU early and really had control of that game. And they kind of solidified their spots going into the playoffs as 1-2. But also this week, like I said, last week was a little bit down, right? We lost a huge game. The game to Michigan. Now we're back up. We're feeling, just refreshed and feeling hopeful for the rest of this year.
Isn't it funny, though, how we, losing. So, losing is one thing. We always feel terrible after we lost. We always, start to figure out why did we lose, mm-hmm. which leads to us blaming who the loss is on, right?
Right, yep.
But when you lose to Michigan, it's like that times 10. You know what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. Even if Michigan's good or whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, losing to Michigan is like, that's the ultimate worst feeling.
Yeah.
But we kind of went from, season's over.
Season's over.
Now, we talked
I
about
was definitely that, like, season's
yeah,
over.
Talked
yeah,
about they
yeah.
could still get in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But you go from that and saying, you have the calls to fire Ryan Day and all that other stuff, which is kind of
nonsense.
Yeah,
right,
it's wild. And now Buckeye fans are back, check post, poked out. We back in it.
We're
a dangerous team.
We're a dangerous team.
But just going, looking at what happened with God is in, you look at those performances by the quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
Now you see the Heisman finalists.
Right. So for the Heisman finalists, we got obviously our quarterback, the Buckeye, CJ yep. Stroud. You got USC's quarterback, Caleb Williams, TCU's quarterback, Max Duggan, or Duggan, how you pronounce that there, and Georgia's quarterback, Stenson Bennett. All quarterbacks, which is, I don't know, I guess that's what the award is at.
It's
now.
A quarterback award.
It's
now,
a quarterback
right?
award.
It's
now,
a quarterback
right?
award. All of those quarterbacks played in their conference championship, except CJ.
Mm-hmm.
All of those quarterbacks put on a pretty, pretty good performance.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So for Max, obviously Max and Caleb, they lost their games, right? But if you watch the game, Caleb was obviously injured, dinged up.
Yeah.
But he still played pretty well. Still was kind of moving around when he could.
Gutsy effort.
Yeah. Gutsy effort. Connecting on some big shots to try to get his team back into the game. And then with Max, he did everything.
Yeah.
he made the passes. Yeah. He made the runs. The Kansas State had a lead. He literally made the plays to get them back into the game. Got them to overtime. Got them to the 1-inch line. And that's when the coach decided
not
went away from him. And
not give it to that guy.
Not give his best player the ball at that time. And they kind of, tap off from there. But Stenson Bennett, obviously, he's the quarterback for the best team in the nation.
Yeah. The 25-year-old Stenson Bennett.
Yes, yeah,
he's seasoned.
Yeah, he's seen a lot. And then obviously we got CJ Stroud, who was probably the favorite going into this year and obviously had tremendous numbers throughout the season. So he also made it to the finals as well. But I guess when we're talking about things, when you're looking at, what these guys mean for their team, CJ with the stats, Caleb Williams with his explosive play, Max being Mr. Do-It-All for TCU, it kind of feels as if, like, when you look at Stenson Bennett and the way Georgia win with their dominant defense, it just kind of feels a little bit that maybe some guys could be seen as a snub or maybe got to that position.
Let's call it what it is. Yeah. Guys got snubbed, and, I think Stenson Bennett is the one that jumps out at me the most as I'm not going to say he's not deserving, but when you compare him to a Hendon Hooker for Tennessee or Corn for Michigan, I think they should have edged him out. A lot of times it kind of comes down to whose team wins the most.
Right.
Right. That gives you the opportunity. And then who is the best player on that team or who is a quarterback on that team? That's
right.
Really what it came down to in this instance. I think, the SEC Offensive Player of the Year went to Tennessee's quarterback. And, he beat out Stetson Bennett for the SEC Player of the Year for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he deserved
it. Yeah, better numbers. I mean, when you put them side by side, you look at all the numbers. You're looking at touchdowns to interception ratio, yards, completion percentage.
And what people will say
Hooker
is,
beat
they got
them out
this
on
response,
all those
what happened when they went head-to-head? What happened when Georgia played Tennessee? And then my answer is, Georgia's defense playing like a top 10 defense.
Right.
And Tennessee's playing like a bottom defense, which is what they are and with what they've been all year. And that's not a formula to beat in Georgia if they play top 10 defense, relatively highly ranked offense.
Yeah.
And then Tennessee, on the other hand, couldn't stop anything. And, yeah, you got to give credit to the quarterback. But when it comes down to the Heisman, I just don't think he outperformed Hendon Hooker and his ability and what he did with that Tennessee team. I'm going to be honest, I didn't really believe that much in that Tennessee team, even when they started off kind of hot. But I think
– you've seen him perform, right? Yeah, you've seen the game against Alabama, the way he just willed his team to a win in that game, other big wins, how they blew out LSU until – until they lost to Texas A&M, there was really in the conversation of also making the playoffs, and that was obviously earlier in the season. But like it was night and day the way Tennessee kind of played against LSU and the way they won that game. So then we also talk about Blake and how he we got the number two team in America. Blake really carried them all year.
Yeah.
And obviously got injured late. Same thing with Hooker. They both got injured late. I feel like due to those injuries, they did not make it to be finalists in the high, which I don't know if that's really fair, right? If we're looking at the best player. But obviously the games at the end mean a lot, and it wasn't there. But, I mean, those guys performed all year.
Yeah, it hurts them. I think in general, it's like this recency bias of how they determine it's narrative going through the year, and then after the running narrative of old Tennessee, he's the leading candidate, CJ Stroud the leading candidate. Then it's like, what happens at the end of the year? Are they that last game or against a big opponent? Do they have this Heisman moment or that Big Ten championship game?
Yeah.
Or that championship game based on conference? Mm-hmm. Do they have these moments that kind of show us that they're clearly? And I mean, they played a whole year. However, I think those moments at the end, whether that guy is available to play,
mm-hmm.
or he puts on a performance that deems him worthy of being a Heisman candidate, ends up being the decision maker. And it really just comes down to the quarterbacks at this point, right?
So obviously, that's what we have there in the finalists and the Heisman, and also looking at the quarterbacks that are Heisman finalists. Also, three of those four quarterbacks makes the playoffs. Obviously, you have Georgia going in at number one after the selection Sunday, let's call it, for college football. Georgia going in at one. Michigan maintaining their two spot. TCU maintaining their three spot after a loss in the conference championship. And obviously, our Ohio State Buckeyes getting put into that four position. What do you think about the selections? Do you think the committee got it right? Do you think, maybe someone was snubbed? Or what's your
decision? I think they got it right. I think they got it right based on – I think they got the top four right.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got the seeding right. However, it's tough that Georgia pulls an Ohio State, a talented Ohio State team, over a potential Georgia TCU matchup that may have been more favorable to them.
Yeah.
But based on how the records fell out, the games fell out, TCU actually playing an extra game and pretty much tying in that game. So their one loss is in overtime on the 1-inch line. They kind of deserved.
Because it's kind of weird if you think about it. You get a team, like basically we get to this point of the season where the games mean so much, and you have a TCU team that loses the game. Like they play and they lost, and that hurts them. Them playing an extra game, it didn't hurt them actually. Them playing an extra game, making it to their conference championship, and like you say, losing a very close one really doesn't affect them at all. When you look at USC, on the other hand, the way they lost their game, they lost by close to 20-some points after having a loss in the season, and kind of their extra game was like a play-in for them that they didn't do well. They out.
Right,
TCU really was like, can you maintain? They play decently, obviously still lose the game, but they're not – it doesn't affect them in their ranking.
That's the thing about that championship game. It's like if you're USC, we're at four, right? We're at four. The season has ended. We're at four. You know what I'm saying? Stop the count. Like, we're in the playoffs here. We're good. We're good as is. But then they have to play in that championship game and give everyone another opportunity to critique them. Mm-hmm. When another team, like Ohio State, does not necessarily have to play in that game. But if you look at USC's positioning, if there was no championship game, I think there would have been a strong argument for Ohio State over USC. going into that game.
Yeah, I mean, just going looking at the numbers, right? Yeah. If you're looking at two teams that got one loss in their regular season, obviously Utah was ranked all season, but when USC lost to them, it wasn't the number three team in the nation like Ohio State loss was to Michigan. To Michigan. And then overall, I mean, obviously, when it comes down to it, the committee always kind of fall back. If they really want to do something, they just fall back to an eye test. Like, well, eye test, looking at the eye test wise, you always it's in the favor of Ohio State when you're looking at TCU or USC or most teams.
I'm tired of this eye test, man. Everybody listening to their lying eyes. It comes down like if you have a perception of a team,
right.
Like, the perception is Alabama is better than TCU. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the perception.
Yeah.
Right? When you watch the games, that my eye test says that Bama is better than TCU. You feel like you already feel like Bama is better than TCU. Like, what Bama did against Tennessee, I know they lost in a close game, but if you watch Bama's defense, it was bad.
It was bad.
So, explain the eye test. So explain the eye test in that situation, right? Situation like when that, they lost some of these other games, it was bad. When they beat Texas by 1 point after Texas' starting quarterback went out, Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, in the first half. First quarter.
Yeah, so stop listening to your lying eyes, man. Guys are playing, and how they perform and what they do based on record, are they beating the teams that are in front of them? You know, are they keeping the games competitive or whatever? That, to me... You know what I'm saying? Like, the eye test stuff, I feel like it benefits Ohio State in certain years, right? And I'm going to let it happen if it benefits Ohio State because that's my bias showing. But I'm not going to pretend like, oh, my eye test says Ohio State is better. Man, that's BS.
Yeah. But when you're looking at it, though, Ohio State numbers, obviously we know the offense, dipping a really good offense under Dave for two, three seasons now, top ranked. As in last season, you look at troubles with the defense, you know, gave a lot of points. But this year, until the last game of the season, we're top 10 defense. So right there, you know, let you know the performance that Ohio State had this year. I think they won all their games by at least double digits, which lets you know how they, you know, really kind of dominated over their competition. So, I mean, obviously, I feel like the committee did get it right. I feel like when you look at a TCU who lost their bonus game, more or less. Can you jump in Alabama who lost two regular season games?
No.
They also didn't. And I don't think it made sense. I think they made the right decision in the rankings and pitting teams where they at. Obviously, Ohio State now will play in the Peach Bowl against Georgia, while TCU and Michigan has West. Fiesta Bowl. And Phoenix for their game. So, obviously, we're going to be looking forward to it in more episodes. We'll go into a lot more details and breaking down things. But we got to, like, talk about the big news that's in college football right now, especially first off, around our campus, Jackson Smith Njigba deciding not to play in the bowl games or the playoff games and deciding to, you know, focus in on his NFL career.
Yeah, so now it's time to talk business decisions, right? And the one thing about football is unique in that once you get to a point where I can do this, like, I am talented and I could play at a high level and I've proved it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I proved it. I am one of the top players at my position. Once you get to that point, the biggest challenge to success to me is health, is injury. All right. So JSN has played football for, I'm pretty sure, a long time. And his goal has always been this moment, the ability to go and get to the next level and play professional football. Right. That's the goal. And there's other goals that line up with that goal, right? You know, being a top receiver at Ohio State, being a top receiver in the country, displaying my talent, being able to win Big Ten championships, beat Michigan, all that stuff kind of continues to line up.
Yeah. Then you winning national championship. You got to put that on the list. That's on the list too.
Winning national championship also lines up. Now he suffers an injury, a nagging injury, one of those injuries where it's not too bad for the future, but if you keep messing with it, it could put you at risk. And he's tried to go out there and play a couple times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's re-injured himself. And honestly, man, the news came out now, right? Mm-hmm. But doesn't it seem like...
Yeah, it's like the writing was on the wall, right? Like you said, he tried it a couple of times, and as you know, and I know, I had some hamstrings issues myself for a fat guy. He hurt my hamstrings.
You got hamstrings,
it was the weirdest thing, man. It was weird. But that kind of goes to say how tricky sometimes it could be. Like, you know, you're pulling your hamstring. Obviously, you had a tremendous hamstring injury yourself.
Yeah, that one ended my career.
Yeah. So it's tricky, right? And sometimes you think it's just soft tissue. Give it some time, 3 or 4 weeks. It's a hamstring, get it healed. But sometimes it could be a lot more difficult than that. I know for myself personally, my hamstring issue, like I said, I'm fat. I don't even run that bad. was due to my hips, though. Due to some issues I had in my hips and then. Yeah. And the strength and the flexibility and alignment of my hips was causing me to damage my hamstring. So for me to actually fix the issue, it wasn't really hamstring work I was even working on. It was other parts of my body. And the way JSN keep injuring his, I assume it's more difficult than that. Because once you go through all the off-season stuff, the mind stuff, like you want to play in the game. Like that's the fun part. I did all this stuff so I could play in the game. So when you see a guy now out there it's something that's going on. And obviously in his case, we know it's a hamstring, and obviously it wasn't that simple. If so, I believe he would be, with the team right now.
Yeah. And let's look at it though. Let's look at it for what it is. Right. You are, what are we? December. The combine stuff is what, in March, February,
something like that,
somewhere around there.
Right.
And at any point, you're at least 2 months away of a combine or the testing and that stuff to put yourself in position to get to the next level, and to train in preparation for that, to get healthy enough to train in preparation for that. That's in consideration. I mean, you have a team around you at this point, a lot different than when we played, right? Mm-hmm. You have a team around you informing you on, these are the other things that you have to consider. Now, I remember when I played, I played with all types of crazy injuries, bro. I played with, I tore my hip flexor, tore a little piece of bone off, and it was in my hip, and I didn't know until like maybe week 4 or 5 after getting an MRI that it was there, and I had to make a decision. I'll play the rest of the year and get surgery after the year, or I get surgery now. Uh-huh. And I played with it, and that's hard to do at corner, right?
Yeah.
But honestly, if I had like a team of individuals inform me, I don't know what my decision would have been. Right. Because I would have thought about other stuff. All I was thinking about was,
So with that injury, that's your senior?
This is my junior year.
Junior year. Okay.
However, it was my junior year, and it was a year that I probably should have, if I had a good year, I could have came out that year. There's a lot of decisions, right? Because the next year was a very competitive year, as this is our last year, mm-hmm. when it came to every position. Like, it was just like...
A lot of good players.
It was like 15th. Richard Sherman went 5th round. Like, there was like a lot of corners, a lot of D linemen, a lot of O linemen that year. It was just so many players. It was just a deep draft. The year before, it wasn't that deep.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of decisions that I think about in hindsight that I did not consider at the time, which is different. Nowadays, you consider it, and at the end of the day, you have to make the best decision for yourself. And part of the consideration is going to win national championship. Like you mentioned, I want to go win a national. Like, that's part one of my goals. I want to go win a national championship. So, like, players who make these decisions,
they don't take them light.
Yeah, of the decision. Now, other things come into it, and the reality is, you don't know. Like with a hamstring, you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
I tore my hamstring tendon off the bone. Had I known I was going to do that, I wouldn't have played football. I wouldn't have played that week. But I had that nagging injury for a while, and I thought, massage it out, do my treatment or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll be good. So, business decision is a part of it.
Yeah, it's definitely a part of it. Man, like for him, for Ohio State, we know his name, right? Us fans now at this point in time, we like him to play. Why? Because we know what he could do, right? He went on the field, and I believe last year, he had the most receiving yards. You had 2 first-round drafts. You got Garrett Wilson. You got Chris Olave. And the guy with the most yards on the team is Jackson Smith-Njigba. Yeah. We know the plays that he can make. We've seen what he did in the Rose Bowl last year. I mean, he's been doing it, you know, throughout his whole career. Whenever he got an opportunity, he made those plays. And so his senior year, obviously, really this year been a wash. I mean, he really haven't played this season.
Yeah.
He got hurt, I believe, in the first game of the year against Notre Dame when he first injured the hamstring. And obviously,
when you have setbacks,
everyone's not like he tried a couple of times.
When you have setbacks with a hamstring, it's truly a setback, right? You think you're making progress, you think you're feeling good. Then you go out there and something happens again. It's like, all right, now you got to sit it down. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm a guy who went on IR because of a hamstring. Right. Like, my season literally had to end because I kept trying. We don't know the severity of it.
Right.
Like, we assume, it takes this many amount of weeks to heal. Yeah, it takes that many amount of weeks. And then you re-injure it, and then how many more weeks do you add to it from there? And right. Then, I mean, you have to take into account that he has another goal in mind. On top of this goal, right, and it has to be serious enough for him to say, okay, you know, it's time to sit it down.
Time to sit it down. And obviously, that's the decision he made. We respect him for it. He'll always be a Buckeye great for the numbers he put up. I believe he broke a record. I'm pretty sure he had to break some record. I believe he broke one in the Rose Bowl last year. Just a tremendous player, and we wish him well on his professional career.
And when you look at
I believe he probably, like I said, I believe he's probably helping himself. I believe, you know, him going somewhere and getting himself together would keep him as one of the top receivers off the draft.
It's a tough decision. I think he's shown enough, right? And his team has to have to know at this point, you know, how teams feel about him. So I think he's shown enough from a draft standpoint to be up there. He's going to still have to test and do those other things to improve his chances as well.
Right. But we want to also talk about a huge topic that's going on right now and is really blown up everywhere, right? I mean, the season's over.
Yeah.
And the transfer portal has opened up.
Business decisions, man.
And it's booming.
College football free agency
is booming.
College football free agency is here. And it ain't like NBA free agency. NFL, NBA free agency, you negotiate contracts.
You got rules.
There's guys in the contract. Now, in the NBA now, you know, guys will force themselves out. But even that is a challenge, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You got to trade and all this stuff. These dudes, I mean, when the season ends, you can just hop into the portal.
Yeah. Obviously, it's weird, right? When we played, it was a lot of rules around transferring. Like, you had to, even really for it to make sense, you had to already graduate. You had to get a degree in something. And then it kind of made sense. Other than that, it really was a real uphill battle.
It discouraged. It discouraged.
It was like, I believe the rule was like, if you did transfer, you can transfer, but you're essentially going to lose a year of eligibility. If you transfer, you got to go somewhere. And unless there's something going on that's like really out of the ordinary or some type of, you know, huge reason for it. You got to just sit out a whole year and just lose a year individually. Yeah. Now with this, it's season's over. And that's I don't like this situation for myself. Maybe I did like the situation for myself, but I'm still, right. I'm testing the water.
And that's the thing. There's so many reasons to transfer. You could not like what was going on. You can love what's going on. I played out of my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm in Indiana.
Right.
And I want to go to a bigger school.
I'm in a small conference, right? Right. Yeah. You see a lot of that, a lot of the small conference guys there.
They do it. But Indiana has lost a starting quarterback, I think, 2 years in a row now. It's like, dang, like, do you keep developing these guys? But yeah, there's a lot of things to discuss around the transfer portal. But one thing that's interesting is teams that are in the playoffs. And those guys entering the transfer portal and who, like, stays with it throughout the playoffs and who is, like, immediately done. And, like, that's one thing that is interesting. Like, you got teams that are still competing. And you have teams that got bowl games as well. Mm-hmm. But some of these teams are in the playoffs. They have guys who are in the transfer portal.
Yeah. Current. It's weird. Like you say, this is weird. I know Ohio State had a couple guys announce that they're going to enter the portal. Yeah. We also had one guy, Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Yeah, he decided to enter the portal, but he also made a statement like, hey, I'm going to be around. He's a graduate, been with the program for a while. He said, I am going to be here for the postseason, so for the playoff and hopefully national championship game. So, I mean, that's kudos to him because basically, you know, he's stuck in the program for a while. Then he has 1 year eligibility left due to the 2020, the COVID year. So, And then said also, like, I'm dedicated to the team, but obviously I only got one shot left for me to kind of get a chance to, you know, make that impression so I can have a chance at playing in the NFL. So he's going to take it. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys, like you said, it's just into the portal. They don't like the situation. They're behind somebody. And I guess they're behind somebody or, you know, the coach said one thing to be wrong.
And now
I'm leaving. But I guess you also got to speak to the fact that a lot of these kids are entering the portal. And, you know, schools only have so many scholarships.
Right.
They only have so many scholarships. You're recruiting high school kids. You only have so many scholarships.
How did that sort out?
Yeah, so a lot of kids are jumping into this portal, and I feel like without doing the due diligence of having a scholarship lined up and ending their college career, we have to kind of discuss that as well.
If you jump in the portal and nobody
recruits you.
Yeah, nobody ends up picking you or wanting you, or the team that wanted you end up choosing someone else, and then what happens? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you just go back to the school that you initially were with? Do they still want you, or are there scholarships and situations set now?
Yeah.
And how many guys end up not actually going back to school at this
point? Yeah, I know some articles out there with numbers, and when you look at the numbers, sometimes they're kind of staggering, but
they're
so staggering. It's like, well, hold on. Is it that high? Like, because you see numbers like, 59% of kids actually get a scholarship to another NCAA school. So just like, well, what happened to all these other kids? Are they out of football now? Or are they out of college now? Yeah, like, are they just back home? But you got to imagine a lot of kids, especially that wasn't playing.
Yeah.
You think jumping in the portal because somebody recruited you coming out of high school, and it's a year, 2 years
plans
later.
Plans change.
It definitely changed. You know, you trying to put yourself out there and things change. But also got to speak to the fact that a lot of kids, like you said, at these smaller universities with the NIL, right?
Yeah.
So if you're at a smaller university, let's say you, you're in the MAC, or like you say, you're playing in Indiana, where, you know, maybe football is not the emphasis of the school and the donors. You get a chance. Some of these guys are jumping in the portal and, like, just put it out there on their social media. Recruiting is open. You know, come to me with an offer.
Right. Right. I mean, Pittsburgh had a receiver who won the Blinnikoff and went to USC, I believe. And that's crazy. Like, you as a coach, you're like, dang, I don't know. We developed this guy, or, you know, he ended up blossoming and becoming the guy that he's going to be at my school, and he's gone. Now I got to go replace the guy who won the Blinnikoff. I can't do that. You know what I'm saying?
The number one receiver award in the country, you win it, and then you transfer school. And now, obviously, I don't know the NIL situation from Pittsburgh to USC, but you imagine.
That was a bag.
There was a reason, right?
Yeah, that was a bag out there.
Right, once you win that award, you're still thinking about draft status, but it can't be. You got to imagine you made it to the NFL at this point in time. That you know, if you stay healthy, you don't do anything crazy. You know, you get your shot there. So it has to come down to other.
The combination of NIL and transfer portal together is kind of like one of the craziest things in college right now. Because I don't know who's getting the money to jump in. I don't know. Like, it's just a crazy world out there, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's going to be interesting, especially for, you know, teams that are continuing their season and trying to compete for a national championship and have guys at this point. The portal is open. You know, I got to go now, right? Because now teams are making decisions.
You're trying to get into that, right? You're trying to get into the mix on it. So it's definitely interesting times in college football. I would assume, like I said, it's really crazy now, but I would assume that in the future, somehow, way, it kind of regulates itself a little bit. That's what you think is gonna stay the Wild Wild West?
they're gonna put some structure.
Yeah, you gotta put some structure.
It's gonna get too crazy. There's gonna be a lot of horror stories of, you know, this guy went to Portland and I'm not getting the it's gonna do a documentary within a year or two. It's gonna be a lot of stories out there.
Because there's gotta be a lot of kids that's really just going home. Like, you enter the transfer portal, you go home thinking you're gonna get recruited, and maybe you talk to a couple guys. Maybe they, you know, like you say, spots get filled up because there's only so many scholarships. And then with scholarships compared to recruiting and the transfer portal, you know, resources do get eaten up. And so it's going to lead to a lot of guys
really, that's the negative.
Just going home.
That's the negative side. I mean, the positive side is there's an opportunity for you to continue your career somewhere else and get an opportunity. You saw Jameson Williams, his ability to go to Alabama, and then boom, he gets drafted with number 12 overall, which likely would not have happened had he stayed at Ohio State. So there's a positive part.
Joe Burrow, his success story. Right. You see it all the time.
But there's some fallout on the other side, which they're going to have to account for. But back to the college football playoff and the four teams and the matchups.
Mm-hmm.
I guess from Ohio State standpoint, the last game wasn't great. We saw Ryan Day come out on TV, get interviewed, and say, look, we need to score, right? We got to score. You see, guys, teams who win these games score in the 40-point, you know, somewhere around 40 points, which I like to hear from him because I feel like that was not the approach versus Michigan. I think it was he took the Tressel approach.
Yeah, kind of slow thing, man.
Shout out to Tressel, because Tressel was effective.
Yeah, but that's not what he does.
But that's not who he is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, just looking at that matchup against Georgia, and really the other matchup as well, and what we expect from
So obviously, looking at Ohio State versus Georgia, I feel like when you're looking at Georgia, they've been the number one team all year, but they've been one or two, and most of the year they've been ranked as number one. And obviously, with them winning the games and the way they have won those games, they do deserve that number one spot. So when you look at them, though, I feel like what makes Georgia elite is their trench play, their offense and defensive line. When you watch them play, like, you know, the skill guys are the skill guys. Like, we talk about Stetson Bennett being a Heisman finalist. Obviously, he's a good quarterback. Obviously, he's a national championship quarterback. But when you watch them, it's like, okay, they could do some stuff. And the guys are, you know, good. Some of those guys will go on to the next level. Some of them probably will not. But when you look at their offensive defensive line, like, that's where things get elite. When you look at the defensive line from the national championship season last year, those guys going in the first round to what they brought back this year that is really replaced. And they know how – they play the game the right way. They're very physical. They're very sound. And then when it's time to win, they just win. Like, defensive linemen defeat blocks. Their offensive linemen I feel like pass blocking can get a little bit shaky, but when they need a yard, 31, they know how to get a double team, move some guys out the way, and get it done. So for Ohio State, they're going to have to bring it in the trenches if they want to compete with Georgia to get that win.
And I've been impressed with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. I think he does a good job of managing the game and making plays when they need plays to be made. I do think, you know, their passing defense is opportunity. I watched them play against LSU, that backup quarterback came in after what's his name? Jaden, the starting quarterback got hurt. Mm-hmm. And he was, I mean, they were just going up top on him. I think I just want us to do what we were good at, and that's throw the ball. I mean, I want us to be able to be balanced and run the ball as well. However, being balanced and doing those other things are the setup to being able to do what you do great. You want to do those other things, you want to be able to effectively run the ball so that they can't just focus in on the passing game. And when it's, you know, 3rd and 3, Ryan Day, and you need to go make a play, put the ball in the guy's hands who makes the plays and the quarterback and call plays that can be, you know, effectively move the chains and continue to give, you know, the talented guys on that offense an opportunity to do what they do.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping for here.
A lot of times, like, and we're kind of being harsh on play calling, right, with David, because we're referencing the last game, the Michigan game. And what we saw there was the same.
We've seen
in critical times a lot of gimmick plays, like not us just lining up, doing what we do to make the play to get the first down. We was trying to basically trick the Michigan defense into showing something over here, then trying to hit a little pop pass over here or something of that nature, or let's do something off rhythm. Let's throw a toss on in a situation to running backs that, you know, really haven't done it all year, trying to throw the defense off balance. And like you say, like at this point in time, we got to do what we do best. Yeah. Get the ball to our best player, CJ Stroud, and allow him to make that play to kind of
I'm fine with if you thought going in, okay, throwing a few swing passes is going to open up the defense for us to be able to run the ball downhill. But when you get in the game and you throw a few swing passes and they're blowing it up, they're blowing it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're blowing it up. Yeah. So at some point you say, okay, that ain't working. But we know, you know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan knows if I get to this fadeaway, I'm going to be able to hit this shot. Mm-hmm. So that other stuff is great. But when it comes time to make a play, when there's a money down, third down, whatever, and manageable, we've gotten to this position, we need to go make a play.
Right.
Or we enter the red zone and we need to go take a shot. Let's do what we do. You know what I'm saying? Let's do what we do.
Right. And we want to see CJ, like, step it up. Like, right? You're a Heisman finalist now 2 years in a row. You know, looking at the last game against Michigan, I felt there was a couple opportunities where CJ could have just, you know, pit his head down and made the play. Instead of, like, kind of doing what the X and O says to do against a good Michigan defense and try to fit the ball in a tight window that's not there. Obviously, you're a talented quarterback. You usually can make those throws against other competition. But when competition picks up, a lot of times, you know, the window's closed and they're essentially waiting for you to throw it so we can take away the window.
Right.
So, like, make the plays, put your head down. If it's in a scramble, play breakdown, you scramble, you figure it out, you make it happen. Or if it takes you just pitting the ball down, quarterback stepping up in the pocket, taking off, and then maybe running over a guy and get that first down so we could kind of, you know, stay in schedule and keep the ball.
There comes a time where if you throw the ball accurately, it's not a good throw. It's because the guy is covered. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got a safety over the top. He could be aggressive underneath. And, yeah, you're an accurate passer. But an accurate pass might be a pick. You know what I'm saying? So, I think being able to put your head down and run, take the 5 yards, being able to look and see, take the check down, boom, and taking what the defense gives you and going to make plays when you got to make plays.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I need to go make a play. That might be a run. That might be a quick pass right in front, taking what the defense gives me and give myself an opportunity to continue to move the ball down the field. But he needs to be who he is. Like, he's a talented player. He's an accurate passer. He can do a lot of stuff in the passing game. However, it's the next level of being a guy who can just go win us a game.
Right.
Like, sometimes you just got to be the guy who can go win the game.
And just get it done by any means.
Right, in those winning moments.
And then TCU, Michigan, I mean, obviously that should be a compelling matchup. It's really going to be Dugan out there for TCU running his offense against a pretty good Michigan defense.
Yeah.
I would say overall, I mean, if I'm selecting it, obviously at this point I'm a little bit biased, right? I want that rematch at this point. So I would love, obviously I believe Ohio State will, you know, come up with a plan. They would get to Georgia. And then I would love to see Michigan come on top of TCU.
This is what I'm hearing.
And what you hearing?
That you want Michigan to beat TCU so that Ohio State could play them and beat them in the national championship. But that would require you. So now you don't necessarily have to cheer for Michigan, but that would require your mental state to be like, I'm fine with Michigan beating TCU. Our fans do not understand that logic or that nuance, right? It's Michigan lose at all times.
Yeah.
It's also challenging, though, because what if Michigan does win? And God forbid Ohio State doesn't. Now we got Michigan in the national championship.
I'm not worried about that. But see, I'm one of those guys that I want Michigan to, like, win their game. I'm weird. Like, I want Michigan to be, like, on the highest of horses when we play. I want them to win their games. I want them to be ranked in the nation, and then we be up there, feeling really good. Then they got to play Ohio State, and then we take it to them and bring it down.
Knock them off that high horse.
We already lost. We lost to them once, right? So they're undefeated. So now they're in the playoffs, so they're feeling really good. You got the quarterbacks in the media talking about bring it on, the rematch. And, well, obviously we know what happened with the planting flag, once our players are heading up the tunnel, all that unnecessary stuff. So now they're getting on just the highest of horses. And then they get to the NAF, they figure out how to beat, you know, they get to the right there.
Yeah.
They put the banner up, they get to the big ring, and they face another Ohio State team. And then we take it to them, as we know we should have. Definitely the better team, the better players.
And we
got the better coaches. We had a slip up and making a lot of mental mistakes and not executing the way we know we can and the way we know we should. So what better way
Right.
Because then on the national stage, the national championship.
And I'm
going
to go to that playoff game. If we beat Georgia, if it ends up national championship against Michigan, I'm going to Ann Arbor with a flag. I'm going to find a way to plant that flag where necessary.
Yeah.
As a way for me to represent Buckeye Nation, plant another flag.
Yeah.
And get payback.
Get
right?
payback.
And that's what we want. We want payback. Now, you talked about on the last show, a coach who loses three times to Michigan is in serious risk
of losing their job.
Yep.
So if you didn't catch it, so it was Coach Woody Hayes. Yeah. Obviously, he lost his job after losing three in a row. A lot of people say it's due because he hit a player from another team.
Yeah.
But no, it was actually because he lost to Michigan three times. Same thing for Coach Cooper, and also same thing for Coach Perea. Yeah, for Coach Bruce. So that's the old goal. Obviously, it didn't happen for Tressel, didn't happen for Urban for other reasons. That's not the way. But historically, that's been when.
And we thought the third matchup was going to be next season.
Yeah, season. But
so that matchup happened a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it. Another time.
So this is Believe in Buckeye once again with Brian Browning and Chindi Chekwa.
Go Utes.
Go Utes.
And go Buckeye.
Go Bucks. OH.
IO.